appreciative for the prayers this morning. If you want to turn with me, we'll be in Ephesians chapter 1. I want to speak on the subject of counting your blessings this morning. One of the most favorite songs that we sing is the song, "The Count Your Blessings," where it says, "When upon life's billows you're tempest and tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." And the Apostle Paul, as we go into the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to see that the Apostle Paul is going to speak about the great blessings that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the blessings in what he has done for us. And I want to read from Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 3 through 6, but it's interesting as you read through this first chapter. Verses 3 through 14 was originally one big long sentence. When I was in elementary school, my teachers would get on to me about writing run-on sentences, and you have to put a period there, but in the original language, verses 3 through 14 was one big long sentence, and it was extolling the blessings of God, praising God for the blessings, all spiritual blessings, Paul would say, that we have in heavenly places and in Christ. So we can just ignore English grammar this morning and think about this long run-on sentence and praise God for the great blessings that we have. I'm not going to read all the way down to verse 14, but I want to read down to verse 6 this morning, and I want us to just count our blessings as we get ready to go into this communion service and this meeting time. I hope that we can see that wherever we find ourselves this morning as the Lord's people, we are abundantly blessed. So verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." What a wonderful blessing we have here, and a lot of this I hope very much that it's familiar to you, but we have the Apostle Paul. He's offering high praise to Almighty God for his sovereign grace, and he's praising God for the great blessing, the new life that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as we would, if we would read on, we would see verses 4 through 6 praises God the Father for choosing us. Verses 7 through 12 praises God the Son for redeeming us. And then verses 13 and 14 praise God for the Holy Spirit that sealed us. And what we have here in this whole passage, we have a very good explanation of what has been done for us that's God-centered and God-exalted. And it begins here in verse 3 where Paul makes this simple yet profound statement. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It says, "who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So as we think about verse 3, you have two things going here. Paul is saying, blessed be God the Father. He's saying that he deserves our blessings. He deserves our attention because of the blessings that he has provided for us. And I want you to understand, I think that we, in our society today, we, in many cases, don't have a real understanding of what it means, really, to be blessed. I think that many in our society, and we're guilty of it as well, I think if we take an assessment of our own lives, we spend a lot of time pursuing things, pursuing elusive things in this world that we think that they will be blessings to us, and we miss out on the blessings that God has already given us, or the blessings that God has put before us. So And again, in our culture, it ends up really getting into the flesh where there's this competition and this rivalry for bigger and bigger blessings or what we perceive as blessings. And I think a lot of times we just spend our lives focusing on things that are temporary and again, miss out on the great blessings that God gives us and those blessings that truly satisfy us as God's people. So what does it mean to be blessed this morning? As a child of God, what does it mean to be blessed? Well, in verse 3, the Apostle Paul is teaching us that if we are in Christ Jesus, we are already blessed. We have been sovereignly blessed. We have been abundantly blessed. We have been eternally blessed as God's people. Again, in the flesh, we try to seek out the things of this world, and we miss out on the blessings that we've already received. And that's what Paul is teaching us here, that if we're in Christ Jesus, we are already blessed. And that's wonderful to think about it. And let me say this as we go on. We are blessed no matter what our life circumstances are. Let me say, being blessed doesn't necessarily mean that you're always going to feel like you're being blessed. Do you ever get in situations in your life, probably legitimate difficulties and trials, and you're suffering through those afflictions, and you question whether or not you're being blessed? Has God just left me, or has He forsaken me? Sometimes we sing some hymns, the hymn writers, they convey this feeling in their lives that God has just clean left them off. I want you to understand this morning, to be blessed is to mean that in spite of whatever you're going through, you are indeed blessed. You're blessed even when you don't feel like it. Sometimes there's times where we're going to feel abandoned, we're going to feel frustrated, we're going to feel hurt, we're going to feel overwhelmed, we're going to feel neglected. But I want you to understand, those emotional feelings have no bearing on your reality. We are blessed in spite of the circumstances of our lives. Now, I had a preacher friend a number of years ago. He had a statement. You would ask him how he was doing, and he would say, well, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I think about that now, and that's not entirely correct, because in my own circumstances, I'm stressed a lot. But I want to tell you, you can be blessed and be stressed at the same time. So what Paul is talking about here is not a life that's without pain, a life that's without difficulty, a life that's without stress. But what he's trying to get us to remember as God's people is no matter what we're going through, no matter what stresses we may have, Jesus Christ is greater than any of those difficulties that we may come into contact with. And that hymn we sing that I started out with, when it says, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings and name them one by one, and it will be surprise you what the Lord has done. That's what Paul is saying here. In spite of wherever we find ourselves this morning, we have been blessed. That's a wonderful blessing to think about. The devil may attack us, and there may be those in the world that will try to steal our joy. But the Word of God says you're blessed. If the Bible says that we're blessed, so what if someone else tries to discourage us or the enemy tries to discourage us? If we are in Christ Jesus, we are richly blessed this morning. So first of all, I want us to note here in verse 3, what is our response to being blessed? What should be our response as God's people? Well, the Apostle Paul starts out by saying here that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that the proper response to being blessed as a child of God is to bless God in your actions, to bless God in your words and your deeds. And Paul could have used a number of things here to instruct the Lord's people on what their response was to be to God. He could have said, trust in God, and that would have been right. He could have said, serve God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't use that either. That would have been okay as well. But here he starts out by saying, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says you should bless Him. And I want you to see here, what Paul is saying here is that we should bless God because He has already blessed us. We need to understand that. It is our duty, it is our noble duty to bless the God who has blessed us. I want you to understand that Jesus, when he was talking about God the Father in Mark chapter 10, Jesus would say unto his disciples, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." What Jesus was teaching them was that they were to bless God. They were to speak good things and live their lives in such a way that it would magnify the God who had blessed them. Now I want you to understand, as we think about this, there is a difference between the blessings that God bestows upon us and how we bless God. Why is that? Because he's God and I am not. Well, what about the blessings of God? The blessings of God are both gracious and effectual. What does it mean that the blessings of God are gracious? Well, God blesses us when we don't deserve it. Do you recognize that this morning? We don't deserve any of the blessings of God, but he has blessed us in spite of himself. He blesses us because of his goodness and not our faithfulness. That is a doctrinal distinction that we need to have clear in our lives. God's not blessing me because of something that I can offer him. Because any offering that I have is a poor, pitiful offering at the very best. But he is gracious in his blessings, and he is also effectual in his blessings to us. That means that effectual blessings means that when God blesses us, nobody can take it away. Yeah. Nobody can overthrow the blessings of God in our lives. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means for us that our eternal life is secure because of what Jesus Christ has done. His blessings can't be thwarted. They can't be overthrown. And I want you to understand, my friends, if God the judge says you are blessed, who can object and overthrow those blessings? Nobody. So that's how we are blessed by God. And he says he is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the one that blesses us. That speaks of the Creator God, the one who has made us. The psalmist would say, and not we of ourselves, we are his people, the psalmist would say in Psalm 100 and verse 3, and we're the sheep of his pasture. That is the one who has blessed us. The one who has created us is the one that has blessed us. And let me just say one more time that the God, Creator God that we serve, he's not just a God. He's not just the head of a whole plethora of gods. He is God all by himself. And he has blessed us and he is our Redeemer. Aren't you thankful to understand that? He's the one that blesses us and he is the one that has saved us. He's the one that chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. He's the one that's predestinated us according to the adoption of children, what we've read here. And when God blesses us, it's gracious and effectual. Nobody can take it away. And it's not anything that we deserve. But we're called to bless God. Now, what are the characteristics of our blessings? And I mean this just as kind as I can. Well, first of all, our blessings are fitting. You know, we bless God because he's worthy to be praised. We sang that opening hymn this morning that spoke about glorifying the King of Kings and glorifying the Lamb. We bless God not because we have anything at all to offer God. I've already said that, but we can repeat that one more time. We don't have anything to offer God as far as our talents, our abilities, our good works, but we're to bless him because he's worthy. He deserves the glory, the honor, and the praise. He deserves our thanksgiving for what he has done for us and what he continues to do for us. But I'm going to say the respectful part of this is we bless him ineffectually. If we look at God's blessings being effectual, then no one can take them away. Our blessings don't really add anything to God at all. Have you ever thought about that? Really, our abilities, and again, this is not meant to be disrespectful, but anything that we have that we think we could offer to God is nothing but useless as far as adding anything to the stature of God. No, what we do in our blessing of God is we just acknowledge and honor who he is. And we need to be careful about that because there is an erroneous idea in many religious circles that that our blessings towards God obligate Him to do something for us. Or our blessings towards God bind Him or force Him to do something for us. Be careful about that. People pray those prayers all the time, but I don't think that gives God the reverence that's due unto Him. You know, our blessings to God should not ever be a means to an end. In the flesh sometimes, we'll try to negotiate with God. Well, if you'll do this, Lord, then I'll do that. Lord, if you'll bless me, then I'll be faithful unto you. Lord, if you'll scratch my back, I'll scratch your backs. No, my friends, real worship and blessing to God is not a means to an end. Because we have nothing to barter. We have nothing that we can offer Him. And when I'm talking about blessing here, it means speaking good of God. It means giving God the glory that's due unto Him. The reality is, if we never bless God ever in our lives, if none of us ever bless Him, He's still going to be God. We're not going to deplete from His character. We're not going to deplete from His power any whatsoever. And we need to understand our blessings. And I think what we're doing here in worship is blessing God. It's to be God-centered and not man-centered. So blessing God is not about who you are. It's not about what you have. It's not about how you feel, but it's about who God is and what He has done. Why is that important? Because, things change in our lives, don't they? Our circumstances change. We go through trials and difficulties and tribulations. But isn't a wonderful blessing what Paul is saying here? Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Our circumstances change, but God is always the same. I'm thankful that my feeble praise does not add to Him or my lack thereof takes away from Him. He's always God. And we read from Scripture that if we fail to praise God, the rocks are going to cry out and praise His name because He's the sovereign God over all. And what John said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the truth is we have nothing that we can offer God, but we bless Him for who He is. We bless God for what He's done for us. We bless Him that has saved us and delivered us. So verse 3, we go back. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, he says, in heavenly places in Christ. I want you to see this in Christ that's spoken of here. That's a succinct statement of what the theme of the book of Ephesians is, that we are in Christ. Understand, our blessings come in Christ. What does that mean? That means that we are saved, we are delivered. All of the blessings that we have come in Jesus Christ. And this speaks about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. You understand this morning that it was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone on the cross that saved us from our sins. The spiritual blessings that we have, they all come in Christ. So when we come together and observe the Lord's Supper on Thursday evening as a church here, what we're recognizing is what Christ has done for us. It was in Christ's body that He suffered for our sins. He suffered. His body was broken for us. It was in Jesus Christ and His shedding of His blood that we have eternal life. It is exclusively Jesus Christ. He is the only means of blessings that we have. And we understand that. And Jesus would say in John chapter 14, we quoted it the other day, He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Again, the statement about the sufficiency of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have been blessed this morning, my friends, in Jesus Christ. It doesn't say here that you're blessed in Christ and something else. We need to understand that. In Christ means that we don't have to check our bank account to see whether or not we've been blessed. It doesn't mean that it doesn't have anything to do with the job that we have, the salary that we have. It doesn't have anything to do with the home that we live in. It is all in Jesus Christ. Things may seem bad. Things may be difficult now, but in Jesus Christ, you are blessed. Isn't that wonderful to think about? We see that from Christ's perspective, but I hope that we can get comfort from that in our own situations right now, because that's a statement about where we are in Christ. We're blessed this morning. We're not governed by our past actions because we're in Christ Jesus and He died for our sins. We don't have to allow the sins of the past, the mistakes that we've made in the past, impact and affect us as we go forward, because we're in Christ Jesus. We're not bound by those things. He died for those sins on the cross. Our pain and our sufferings, that we suffer the effects of our sins, but He died for them. We are told from God's Word we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful to think about? That's the title that we all have as God's people, in Christ. In ancient times, often those believers that were in the early church, folks would ask them who they are, and they would give their name, and a lot of times they would use the moniker in Christus. They would give their name, and they wouldn't say, well, I'm just a Christian, but they would say in Christus, which meant I'm in Christ. I want to tell you, that's where we ought to identify every day as the Lord's people. We are in Christ Jesus. No matter where we find ourselves, we can live in that truth and live an authentic life and knowing, I am in Christ Jesus. He has died for me. Apostle Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, he would say, if any man be in Christ, he says, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So many of us live in the past and hash and rehash the things that we've done in the past. Well, Jesus died for them on the cross, child of God. We are a new creature in Him. And what a blessing. We have been declared blessed because of what Christ Jesus did for us on the cross. We have this great celebration that Paul is speaking about here. We are in Christ. That's a wonderful blessing to think about. And you read on verses 4 through 12. You can go back and read them on your own at home. But, you know, you see all of these blessings that come in Christ. We were chosen by God before the foundation of the world is what verse 4 speaks about. And verse 5 speaks about us being predestinated unto the adoption of children. Verse 6 talks about us being blessed and endowed by God in Christ Jesus. And then verse 7, probably the best one of the bunch, says, we have been redeemed and forgiven. All of those things are in Christ. We've been sealed, it says in verse 13, in the Holy Spirit. And we see that God is the guarantor of that. Isn't that a blessing to think about? Our eternal life is guaranteed. It's all in Christ Jesus. You are blessed. No matter where you are this morning, no matter what happens tomorrow, no matter what you're facing, you are in Christ Jesus and you have been blessed. It's amazing to think about. In verse 3, going back, we see that we're blessed in Christ. He's the focus of it. And notice now as we go back to verse 3, the scope of this blessing. He has blessed us, he says, in Christ with every spiritual blessing. That literally means He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Do you understand that? We have this blessing that's full and free. This blessing that you don't need anything else is what He's talking about here. When He talks about all spiritual blessings, that means that we don't have to worry about anything else. The human nature within me wants to look at the difficulties and the trials. You know, I'm going through this difficulty. I'm going through this hardship, and I don't see the blessings in that. Or I look at something that my neighbor may have that I don't have, and I may feel like that I'm not very blessed, or I'm not as blessed as the next person. Understand, He has blessed us, Paul says, with all spiritual blessings. That means we've got all that we need and we don't need to worry about the other things. Romans chapter 8, notice he says, Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, he says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Do you realize God has already given you His very best? when his son came into this world and died for our sins? Do you believe that? God has already given us his best. So you can't tell me that we can't trust in God to take care of everything else. If he's purchased our eternal life, we can trust God that he's going to meet those other needs in our lives. You know, meet those financial needs that we might have. Meet those physical needs that we might have. He has the answer to the prayers that we have prayed out this morning of those going through sickness and affliction and don't have answers to symptoms that they're having. He is the one that has blessed us. If you are in Christ Jesus, you have everything that you need. Peter would say in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says, according as his divine power, he says here, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, he says, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, he says, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, he said, the corruption that is in the world through lust. Peter is saying here, in Christ you have everything that you need. Isn't that wonderful to think about? It doesn't mean everything's going to be great in this world. We read in the Bible, in this world we shall have trials and tribulations, but it means that we have everything that we need. God has provided, and he will provide. I remember reading a story one time about a preacher. He felt the Lord was burdening him to go overseas and preach the gospel. The Lord was burdening him and leading him. He was able to gather up the finances. The Lord blessed him with the money to buy a ticket on a ship to go overseas and preach as he felt the Spirit of God was leading him. He bought his ticket for the ride and the story says that as he was getting ready to go and preach where God had called him to preach, he gathered up a bunch of cheese and a bunch of crackers to take with him on his journey to go preach the gospel. And he was on that ship, and these folks would go, and they would eat those intricate meals that come on the ship, and this fellow would just go off to himself and eat his cheese and crackers. And that happened several days, and people started noticing this guy during mealtime would go and just eat these crackers and eat his cheese. So somebody finally asked him, what are you doing with just going off by yourself and eating this paltry meal when they have all of these meals prepared for us? They have all of this food, these delicacies. He said, well, I just had enough money to get on the ship. I can't afford the meals that are on this ship. Well, they told him, they said, well, the meals are included in the purchase of the ticket for the ship. here he was missing out on all of these blessings because he thought that he didn't have the money. He didn't have what it took to partake in those meals. Well, I think we do that with our blessings so many times. Understand that we have been saved eternally. Jesus has done everything that is necessary to save us. And let's not just snack on the cheese and crackers. He's given us the whole meal in salvation. All the spiritual blessings is what Peter is talking about. According, he says, as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The one who saved us is the one who's able to provide us. He didn't save us, and you know, we just don't have a ticket to heaven, and then we're just left here in this world to beg and to scrape around while we're here in this world. He has blessed us. He is providing for us here in this world. I think a lot of times I made this note as I was thinking about my own situation. We're already blessed, but I think that there's many times I forget how blessed I really am. Do you ever do that? I have my moments where I'll have pity parties with myself. Sometimes I'll have them with my wife, and she don't want to join the pity party with me, but I have my own little pity party and fuss and complain and whine about something in my life, but I want you to understand we're blessed. I don't think I understand how blessed I really am. You want to know how to borrow a modern term, how entitled we can be, how I can be? There are times where I already have certain blessings, and I'll ask God for certain blessings that I already have. You ever done that? You know, like a little kid that wants a He has 100 toys laying over here, but he wants another toy very similar like them. We can be that way. Sometimes we as God's people, we don't feel like we're loved. Well, I just need to be loved. I just need to know, Lord, that somebody loves me. Well, we're already loved. We pray for that. I just want somebody to love me. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, we see that the love of God has already been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We're already loved. We pray for that, but understand, child of God, you are already loved. You're loved by God, and that's the greatest love over all. Sometimes we pray for peace, don't we? Lord, I just need peace in my life. But do you realize we already have peace? In John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus says unto his disciples, he says, "Peace I give you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We pray for peace, but we've been blessed with peace already. The peace of God that just passes all understanding. Lord, I'm discouraged. Encourage me, Lord. I need some joy. We already have joy. John chapter 15, Jesus would say, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy," he says, "might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." We have joy. Lord, I need strength. And these aren't things that are inappropriate to pray about, but I want you to see, we already have them in Christ Jesus. Lord, I need strength. What does Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 say? "I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me." If you are in Christ Jesus, you are already blessed. He has blessed you sufficiently. He has blessed you with spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. And that, I believe that talks about the wonderful blessing that we have. We have been blessed with the Spirit of God. That means that we have the Holy Spirit that comes, that's within us as God's people that are born again and quickened. He has blessed us. I think, if you know, Ephesians chapter 1, you go down a little bit, verses 13 and 14, he speaks about us as God's people, "in whom you also trusted," he said, "after that you heard the word of truth," the gospel of your salvation, he says, "in whom also after that you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise," he says, "which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." We are blessed in that we have the Spirit within us. We are blessed with spiritual blessings. And Paul says here in what we read in verse 14, that Spirit that we have, that Holy Spirit of promise, it says it's an earnest of our inheritance. We have the Holy Spirit within us that reminds us of these things, affirms these things in our lives, that we are blessed in Christ Jesus. And when it talks about spiritual blessings, I think it talks about the nature of the blessings as well. You read through the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 28, as all of those commandments are given to Israel. And Deuteronomy chapter 28, God promises he's going to bless Israel if they seek and serve him. But a lot of Deuteronomy chapter 28 was material blessings. As a nation, God said, "I'm going to bless you if you keep my covenant. If you keep my commandments," he said he'd bless them. He said, I'm going to bless you with long life. He talked about blessing them with large families, their families growing, and "I'm going to bless you, bless your crops. I'm going to give you protection from your enemies." Deuteronomy 28 is mostly about natural blessings. Well, how blessed are we as God's people today that not only does God bless us with material things, and he does, no matter how poor we are, he does. He talks about here about spiritual blessings. I believe we enjoy great spiritual blessings that they did not realize nor understand in Old Testament times. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Through Christ Jesus, I think that we have a better promise than what they had during that time. He blesses us with every spiritual blessing, he says, in heavenly places through Christ Jesus. I'm not saying here he doesn't bless us materially, but he does, doesn't he? Every day. But what does the Bible teach us? We go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount, he would say, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I want you to see that we've been blessed spiritually, and because of spiritual blessings, we recognize that He is the one that gives us all good things. He gives us material things. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, Paul would say this. He says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work." And finally, in Philippians 4, Paul would say, My God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Remember, Paul was writing this while he was under house arrest. He was imprisoned while he wrote this. So again, it's not about the circumstances that you're in. It's about the God that's able to bless you. He'll bless us materially. But you're confused as far as what the Word of God says if you define your blessedness by just material blessings. Oh, the Word of God would say, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would a man exchange for his soul? Life's greatest blessings are not the material things that we possess. I think that's important, again, in the times and the place where we find ourselves living today. We can't equate material goods with being blessed. We can't equate everything going right and everything going smoothly with being blessed. That's just not the world that we live in. We live in a world that's been impacted by sin. Our bodies have been impacted by sin, and everything has been corrupted by sin in this world. The greatest blessings that we have are these spiritual blessings that Paul talks about. You know, there's material, money can buy a lot of things, but it can't buy happiness ultimately. You know, money can buy insurance for your health problems, but it can't buy you health, can it? God is able to bless. Money can buy you food, but it can't buy you an appetite, can it? Money can buy you a house, but money won't buy you a home. Money can buy you a fancy bed, you know, buy you a bed that you can recline up on or lift your feet up or make it firmer or make it softer. But money can't buy you sleep, can it? Money may buy you companionship, but money can't buy you friends. We need to understand that God's people, the most important things that we have in this world are things that money can't buy. Spiritual blessings. Jesus in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, he would say unto his disciples, "Take heed," he says, "and beware of covetousness, for a man's life," he says, "consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." I want you to understand that the abundant life does not come from the abundance of our possessions. We are more than what we have. We are more than what we own. If we've been blessed in Christ Jesus, we have all that we need. Sufficient blessings, spiritual blessings. And I want us to see finally that they are secure. Again, verse 3. I don't know if I'm going to get out of verse 3 here. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us," he says, "with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Our spiritual blessings, we understand that they are in heavenly places. That speaks about eternity, doesn't it? You realize that there's more than this world that we live in, don't you? You realize that our time here on this earth is very short at best. Some may live into their 90s and some may live into their 100s, but understand this world is not our ultimate home. He's speaking about eternal things. He speaks about these heavenly places that are in Christ Jesus. Well, what are these heavenly places that are spoken of? This is the place where God dwells. You can read in verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 1, speaking about the work of Christ, he says, or speaking about the work of God in Christ, he says, "which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead," and it says here, "set him at his own right hand in heavenly places." These blessings are not merely worldly blessings. They're not short-term blessings that we're speaking of. They're eternal blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. He's saying here that your blessing is in heavenly places, which means that they are secure. Nobody can take them away. As much as they would try, the world cannot take away our blessings that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. Nobody can come and carjack your blessings. Nobody can come in and break in your house and steal the blessings of God. No one can embezzle or swindle the blessings that God has given you. It doesn't mean that life will not have its struggles and life will not have its difficulties, but the blessings we enjoy are eternal blessings. And Paul, as he goes later on in Ephesians chapter 6, he goes into the practical aspects of this truth when he would say in Ephesians chapter 6 that they were to be strong in the Lord and in the power of their might, and that they were to put on the whole armor of God. He would say that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says that you're going to have these spiritual battles that you fight, but you be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Why is that? Because it is eternal power. And here's the good news. Life is going to be difficult, but we understand God has already provided us as His people everything that we need in Christ Jesus to stand our spiritual ground in this world. The blessings in heavenly places. He'd say, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able, he says, to withstand, he says, in the evil day, and having done all to stand. He has provided. This is proof here that you're blessed. You're blessed in spite of your circumstances here. And let me tell you, isn't it good to know that right now, and all of the difficulties we've had, just think about all the difficulties that folks have been through that are just a part of this body here, trials and tribulations and loss and suffering and pain and anguish. We're still here because we serve the God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You know, it's proof that you're blessed because that you're still here. You're still standing. You're still going forward. The enemy has taken his best shot at God's people, but we are still standing. We are blessed as God's people. If we can just take our eyes for a minute off of the difficulties and circumstances and see that in Christ Jesus we are blessed, what richness there is in that precious truth. We have been blessed as God's people. When I first moved from here after I was ordained, a church in the Panhandle had called me as pastor, Palm Chapel Primitive Baptist Church in Crestview, Florida. And it was interesting. An interesting story came along with some of the Lord's people in that area. The church had built a relatively new building, and the church was gifted a good sum of money when they built that new facility by some individuals that struck oil. You go just a little bit further west, there was some pockets in the Florida Panhandle where some very poor people were blessed to find oil on their property. Hey, you kind of think about the Beverly Hillbillies, maybe not that desperate, but of some of those individuals, the story was told, these folks did not have a lot of the worldly goods. And some of them had gotten to the point where they were about to lose what they did have until one day someone came along and said, we'd like to check and see if there's oil here on your property. And some of those individuals were like, well, I don't have anything to lose because I'm about to lose everything that I have anyway. And what happened? Well, they went, and they determined that there's oil on these pieces of property. They did that, and very quickly they started drilling for oil. And those people that didn't have a lot all of a sudden had a lot. And thankfully, some of them used their newfound wealth to help support churches in that area. And that's how I come to know some of this situation. But the illustration of them striking oil. Now, what happened there? Well, they were struggling, and they had these riches that were there all along. Now, did them just finding these riches all of a sudden make all of that appear and be there? The oil was always there, wasn't it? What they had to do was they had to do a little bit of digging to find the wealth that was there on their land. Child of God, you may feel like that you're the poorest of poor in this world. You may feel like that the difficulties that you're going through are insurmountable and overwhelming, and you just don't see a way out of those difficulties. My friends, I just want to encourage you in that to dig a little deeper, because you have wealth that far surpasses any money that any millionaire or billionaire may find in this world drilling for natural oil. We are blessed as God's people. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. May we as God's people dig. May we dig in His Word. May we seek His face through prayer and pondering and meditating upon His Word. May we see that we're blessed above all. And as we go into our communion services this week, I hope that will be our focus. The blessings of the Lord. Those eternal blessings. Him suffering in our stead. Him purchasing our eternal life on that cross through His precious blood. What a great God we serve. I want to encourage you this morning, if you have been blessed to see Jesus Christ as your Savior, take up your cross and follow after Him. We should serve Him. Again, the greatest riches we have are in Christ Jesus. They're ours. They're riches whether or not we realize it or feel it or understand it. We serve a great God. Let's turn to song number 441. We'll use this as our closing hymn. The doors of the church are open. If you desire to be baptized, again, we will.